The first edit is to add COVID-19 vaccines. Because booster dose recommendations are still evolving, we've included a link to the webpage with the most current recommendations.
But it's under an EUA. Is it okay for us to include that in the routinely recommended schedule if it's an EUA interim recommendation?
Yeah, before we brought this to the work group, we had a conversation about this with our Office of General Counsel, and we're told that it was okay to add it to the schedule. My name is Dr. Woody, and I'll present the proposed edits for the 2023 Child and Adolescent Schedule. On the in the table of vaccine abbreviations and trade names, we are proposing three edits. The first edit is to add COVID-19 vaccines, and we've used separate abbreviations for the monovalent and bivalent mRNA vaccines. We also have a separate abbreviation for the monovalent protein subunit vaccine. In the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine role, we've added Priorix, and in the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine role, we've added PCV15. Our table one is the routine immunization schedule by age. In table one, we have added a role for COVID-19 vaccines, and we've shaded age 6 months through 18 years in yellow, indicating the recommended age for vaccination. We have also included an overlying text prompting providers to review the notes section for more details on the primary and booster vaccination. In the pneumococcal vaccination role, we have added PCV15. And in the inactivated poliovirus vaccine role, for age 18 years, we've added C notes, prompting providers to look at the notes section for more details. Table two is the catch-up immunization schedule for children who are who have started late or are more than 1 month behind. We have one proposed edit for table two. In the pneumococcal conjugate role, for the minimum interval between those 3 and 4, we have revised the text to indicate when the fourth dose is recommended. Table three is the immunization schedule by medical indication. In table three, we have added a role for COVID-19 vaccine, and in the columns for HIV infection and immunocompromised status, excluding HIV, we've added the overlying text C notes. Under additional information, in the bullet for injury compensation, we've added COVID-19 vaccines, and we've added a sentence stating that COVID-19 vaccines that are authorized or approved by the FDA are covered by the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, and we've included a link to the webpage for the program. We've deleted the previous COVID-19 vaccination box, and we've added a new section for COVID-19 vaccination. We use the format, the age-based format in the infographics present on the CDC webpage for use of the COVID-19 vaccines. The routine vaccination section summarizes the recommendations for children and adolescents who are not moderately or severely immunocompromised. For the primary series section, based on the age of the child, we've included the dose series and the recommended interval between doses for each product. Because booster dose recommendations are still evolving, we've included a link to the webpage with the most current recommendations. In the special situations section, we've summarized the recommendations for children and adolescents who are moderately or severely immunocompromised. And for the primary series, we've included the dose series and the recommended minimum interval for each product. For booster vaccination, we've included the link to the web page. We also added a bullet reminding providers that pre-exposure prophylaxis may be considered to complement COVID-19 vaccination in this population. And then at the end, we've added a note reminding providers that an age-appropriate vaccine product should be administered for each dose. We've included links to the current COVID-19 schedule and the dosage formulations. And we also have a link to where the emergency use authorizations are located. Now, moving on to dengue vaccination, we have a new bullet stating that dengue vaccine should not be administered to children traveling to or visiting endemic dengue areas. For influenza vaccination, we added back the recommendations for persons with egg allergy with symptoms other than hives. Last year, this information was in the appendix as a precaution, but we realized it's not a precaution and we brought it back to this section. We have a new bullet in the special situations section stating that LAIV-4 should not be given to close contacts of severely immunosuppressed persons who require a protective environment. In the MMR vaccination notes, we have a new bullet in the special situations section addressing the use of additional doses in a month outbreak setting. For meningococcal ACWY, we've included information on the newly licensed one-vial liquid formulation of Menveo. So we have that Menveo now has two formulations, the one-vial all-liquid and the previous two-vial formulation. The Menveo one-vial formulation should not be used before age 10 years. And in the MenB vaccination notes, we have, in the special situations section, we have just harmonized this with the adult schedule, where we added the language in parentheses for if dose two is administered at least 6 months after dose one, or dose three is administered earlier than 4 months after dose two. In the pneumococcal vaccination notes, we've added PCV15, which was approved for children and adolescents in June. We've replaced PCV13 with PCV in all the sections. We've added a note stating that PCV13 and PCV15 can be used interchangeably for children who are healthy or have underlying conditions. No additional PCV15 is indicated for children who have received 4 doses of PCV13 or another age-appropriate complete PCV13 series. We have deleted the chronic liver disease and alcoholism bullets because those are not risk factors for invasive pneumococcal disease in children and adolescents. And then in the polio vaccination note, we've added a new special situation section to address adolescents age 18 years at increased risk of exposure to poliovirus. Those in this age group who do not have evidence of a complete polio vaccination series, which is defined as at least 3 doses, should get the remaining doses to complete a 3-dose series. And those who have evidence of having at least 3 doses may receive a 1-lifetime IPV booster. We've included the link to a web page the CDC created with more details on this information. Lastly, I will go over the proposed edits for the appendix. The appendix was added last year, and it lists the contraindications and precautions for the vaccines in the schedule. We changed the header from contraindications to contraindicated or not recommended. In the hepatitis B role, we've added a new bullet stating that HepLisav and PreHevbrio are not recommended during pregnancy due to lack of safety data in pregnant women. Healthcare providers are advised to use other hepatitis B vaccines if indicated. In the footnote, we've added links to the pregnancy registries for both vaccines. In the HPV rule, we've added a new bullet stating that HPV vaccination is not recommended during pregnancy. And in the MMR rule, we've added MMRV vaccine product. And in the precautions column, we've added a new bullet saying that personal or family history of seizure of any etiology is a precaution for using MMRV. And then in the varicella rule, in the precautions column, we've added a new bullet saying that if healthcare providers are going to use MMRV, they should see the MMR rule for additional precautions.
For the pneumococcal conjugate vaccines, my simple question is, why did we delete chronic liver disease? Is that no longer a risk factor for anybody?
Miwako can help me here, but my understanding is that it was in the last policy note, it was added in error for the children and adolescents. And when the new policy note for use of PCV15 was written, that error was corrected.
Just a point of clarification. I know that we have already recommended COVID-19 for children, but it's under an EUA. Is it okay for us to include that in the routinely recommended schedule if it's an EUA interim recommendation?
Yeah, before we brought this to the work group, we had a conversation about this with our Office of General Counsel, and we're told that it was okay to add it to the schedule.
So, you know, we've received comments from the public that are concerned about adding COVID-19 to the routine schedule, to the routine childhood schedule. And I just want to address that directly. I will acknowledge, I appreciate that there is symbolism in adding COVID-19 to the childhood immunization schedule. And that symbolism is that we view this as routine and that we view this as COVID is here to stay. But there are mandates, but those are really State Board of Health largely decisions, and this doesn't represent a mandate. But then I appreciate that if parents are concerned about COVID-19 vaccines, then they're concerned that this could be turned into a mandate. And again, I would want to turn that conversation in a different direction. I've had parents who've come in my office and I say, oh, what are you here for? And they say, well, we're here for vaccines so that our kids can go to school. And I've said, okay, I understand that, but really I'm not vaccinating so you can go to school. I'm vaccinating because I want to prevent serious disease and death in your kids. And the fact that there's a school immunization requirement helps. I just want to acknowledge that we heard the public's concern about this in the public comments, but just to reiterate that the reason things are added to the schedule is that we feel like the benefits strongly outweigh the risks, and these are opportunities for disease prevention. But we acknowledge that there's concern on the part of the parents. I guess the last point I'll make is we just need to continue to do better at communicating why we think the benefits strongly outweigh the risks.
And I'm going to ask first if there's any clarifying questions about this motion to approve the recommended childhood and adolescent immunization schedule and the recommended adult immunization schedule for 2023. I don't see any hands raised at the moment. And do we have everybody on screen?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Dr. Wharton?
And the motion passed 15 unanimously in favor.